The title of this discourse is A Call on Your Life. And again, I want you to be praying for me. God has a call on your life. In Revelations 3 and 20, somebody go there and read it for us. Revelations 3 and 20, it talks about him standing at the door and knocking at the door of our hearts. What is this? Yes? All right.
If any
man hear my voice,
all right.
All right. All right. All right. All right. It says here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God has a call upon our lives. And he has gone so far as to stand at the door of our hearts, and he's knocking on that door, trying to gain entrance into our hearts. And so he's going out of his way to gain a relationship with us. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Not only does he knock, but he waits on us. He says, if any man shall hear my voice and open the door. Do you know that when someone comes to our door, we have a choice that we have to make? Are we going to open that door and let those people in? Or are we going to let them stand outside and continue to knock and continue to wait? The Lord is standing at our door and he's knocking at the doors of our hearts, but we have a choice in the matter. We have a choice in the matter. We got to be willing to answer the call that Jesus has upon our lives. He's calling for you and to me. I want to skip down. I'm going to go to Matthew 22 and verse number 14. We're going to go back to this later on, but there's a scripture that I want to read in concerning and in regarding the subject matter that we're teaching on, preaching on this morning. It says here in Matthew 22 and 14, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. I want you to remember those two scriptures when we're thinking about the message this morning. God has a call upon our lives. He's knocking at the doors of our hearts, and he's wanting us to open that door. We have a choice whether or not we're going to open that door. It says here also that many are called, but few are chosen. The choice that we make has a lot to do with whether we are called and chosen or whether we are called and that's all there is to it. May God help us this morning. All right, I want you to go with me to Jonah 1 and verse 1. Y'all remember the story of Jonah? God told him to do something, didn't he? But what did Jonah do originally? He had something for him to do, but he went another way. Let's go to Jonah 1 and 1. Read that for us, please. On down through verse number 3. Be praying for us.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah.
Word of the Lord came unto Jonah, right?
Rise, go to Nineveh.
Rise and go to Nineveh. All right, make a cry against it.
Wickedness has come up before me.
But Jonah arose. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. So we'll stop there. The Lord God had something for Jonah to do. All right. And so what he did is he made a call unto Jonah. He came to Jonah and he gave him the indication that there's something I want you to do. There's some people over there in that land in Nineveh, and they're not doing right. But what I want you to do is I want you to go down, and I want you to tell them to get themselves together because judgment is coming their way. And what Jonah did, the first thing he did is he took off, didn't he? He said, this call that the Lord is putting on me, I don't want to hear that right now. I don't want to do that right now. And so I try to run away from God. Do you know that you can't run from God? Did you know that? You can't run far enough. You can't run fast enough. There's nowhere where you can go where you can get away from God. May God help us this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. If God has a call on your life, stop running from God. Stop running from God. You hear the voice of the Lord. You see him knocking at the door of your heart. And he's saying, I want to come in. I want to do something with you. I want to do something for you. He talked about, Brother Davis talked about, there's not a friend like Jesus. And that's the truth. There is not a friend like Jesus. But he can't help you as a friend if you won't receive him as a friend. How can a friend, I can be your friend all I want to, but all the love and the care and the kindness that I want to give you, I can't give it to you if you refuse me. If you're running from me, may God help us this morning. Do you know that God is calling you this morning? He wants your heart up. He wants your soul. He wants your mind. Wants your spirit. He wants to help you, but he can't help you if you won't let him, if you're running from him. I'm telling you, if you hear the voice of the Lord this morning, stop running. Stop running. May God help us this morning. May God help us. Stop running. We can't run far enough or fast enough away from God and his call on our lives. All right. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 25. And we'll read a little bit there, just verse number 25. If you beat me there, go ahead and read it. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse number 25. What does it say? All right, so this is talking about, who is this? This is talking about Moses, talking about Moses, right? And so let's get it out there on the table. Let's look at what we're looking at. Do you know that there are pleasures in sin? There's no reason for us to deny that. There are some pleasures in sin. What's the problem with them, though? They're temporary. What else? There's a consequence, isn't there? There's a consequence with sin. And so this scripture said that Moses, when he heard the call, and he kind of was hindered a little bit in the way when he heard the call. Remember that? Lord told him, I want you to do something for me. He said, I can't hardly talk, Lord. I can't hardly talk. So Lord got rid of his excuses, gave him Aaron to help him to talk for him and talk with him. See? And so sometime God comes to us and he says, listen, I want your heart. I want you to give that world up. I want you to give your way up. I want you to live for me. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be with you. And what we say, Lord, is, listen, I'm having a little fun right now. I'm having fun, Lord. And so, Lord, if you will, just hold on for a little bit. And when I get ready, I'll come and I'll answer the call that you're giving me. Did you know that the Bible says that God's spirit shall not always strive with man? Yeah. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible says today is the day of salvation? Yeah. Now is the accepted time. We're talking to those that are saved. We're talking to those that are not saved. If you haven't answered the call yet, then God is calling you this morning and he wants you to come on in. He wants you to come on in. And even if you are saved, sometimes the Lord, what the Lord is telling us to do, we're resisting the Lord. Lord, I don't want to do it, Lord. It's not going to be fun, Lord. It doesn't fit my personality, Lord. May God help us this morning. Answer the call. Answer the call and resist that urge to follow after those fleeting pleasures that most importantly have a sting that is associated with them. And if we're not careful, they'll sting us forever. May God help us this morning. May God help us. Come on and go to James 1 and 14. I'm going to tell us a little bit about the pleasures of sin. We're going to spend a little bit of time on that. It won't be too much, but I want you to stay with me. James 1 and 14 and 15. I want you to be listening to what God is saying to you this morning. If he's talking to your heart, I'm talking about young, I'm talking about your old, I'm talking about anywhere in between. God calling you, want you to listen to him, and I want you to tell him by the help of the Lord that you're coming, you're willing to let him come on in and do what he wants to do. Go ahead and read James 1:14, please. Every man is tempted, drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Lust have conceived, bring it forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So remember, we were talking about the pleasures of sin and how they can hinder us from answering the call. All right? This tells us the eventuality of what's going to happen when we live a life in sin. All right? When we decide to choose those pleasures of sin over the riches of God. That's the real choice. It says here, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of whose lust? His own lust. And so the enemy comes to tempt us. But something in us has to agree with what he is presenting to us. All right? And so at that time, we have a choice to whether or not we're going to live for the Lord, whether or not we're going to let the Lord give us power to resist what he is presenting to us. All right? And so it says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It looks good. It looks fun. It looks like it's going to be okay. And then it says, then when lust has conceived, when it's done its job, it brings forth sin. When I give into that lust, then I become not only do I start sinning, but I become a sinner. There's a problem there. All right, you can't be a sinner and go into God's heaven. All right, I can't be a sinner and say, Lord, I want to come in. He's going to tell you that I don't know you. I never knew you. You understand? These are the problems with what the enemy is trying to sell you this morning. He's trying to keep you from answering the call that God has on your life. Do not let him do you like that. May God help us this morning. Don't let him do you like that. You can say, Lord, I don't want to be a sinner. I don't want to be in sin. So what must I do? I'm going to answer your call at an altar of prayer. I'm going to give my heart to you. And I'm going to stop being forced to do these things that I don't want to do. I'm going to change, Lord, by your grace and help and mercy. I'm going to be different. I'm going to answer the call. May God help us this morning. Because it says when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And then when sin, what happens with sin? What happens after that? Huh? What? Tell me what happens. What does it say? Lust is conceived. Brings forth sin. Sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You remember back in the garden, we're not going to go there, but you remember I'm proving to you that sin brings death. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so when we answer the call, we're answering the call for the gift of God. We want that gift of God. But if we do not answer that call, then what we're doing is essentially we are choosing death. That's what we choose. Not only in a natural sense, but in a spiritual sense, in a mental, emotional, all of those things. It says death, and it does not specify what all death is going to do to you. You understand? Remember back in the garden when the snake came, when the serpent came to Eve and Adam, and when they fell and they disobeyed the Lord. One of the things that the serpent said, he said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He said what? Ye shall not surely die. Didn't he say that? He said that. But what ended up happening? They died, right? Not only in a physical sense, but there was a spiritual death that took place. Sin and death are associated. Sin is to the soul a spiritual sickness that if you die of it, it will kill you. Do you understand? May God help us this morning. Sin is a sickness of the soul. And you have to be healed of that sickness before you leave here, or you can't go where God is. And so that's why he's standing at the door and he's knocking and he's wanting interest into your heart. And he's been standing there and he's been knocking for some time for some of us. Let me tell you, I did not answer the first call. Let's be honest. I did not answer the second call. There was many calls that I did not answer, but he stood and he knocked and he waited on me. And I thank God right now today for that. I'm encouraging you, if he's knocking at your heart's door, I'm asking you to answer that call. Get out of the denial. All right? Forget denial. It's not going to get better. You're not going to live any way you want to and get into God's heaven. That's not going to happen. The lies that he's telling you, the enemy's telling you, they're not true. All right? He's a liar. It says not only is he a liar, but it says he's the father of lies. In other words, he is the originator of lies. You understand this morning? And so it's not going to get better. So what you do is you have to humble your heart and say, Lord, I don't want this way. I want your way. Lord, I don't want to be what I'm becoming. I want to be like you. And I'm asking you, Lord, do something for me. Lord, help me to answer the call. I'll answer the call because I don't want death. I don't want spiritual death. I'm going to die in the body. That's going to happen. Remember, look, I'll prove it to you some more. Did you know that in the Bible that it says there was a tree of life? What happened when they failed? What happened with the tree of life? That's right. God put an angel in front of the tree of life on all sides so that they couldn't get to it. In other words, natural death wasn't even in the equation before sin came. All right? Sin is death. Sin brings death. All right? And so I want you to understand that when God is calling for you, what he's essentially saying, he's calling you from death to life. He's calling you to life, not only in a natural sense, but most importantly, in your spiritual sense. All right? So may God help us this morning. May God be with us and help us. God has an intention for us. I want to read John 14, verses 2 and 3. Somebody get that for us. You beat me there. Go ahead and read it for me, free. John 14, verses number 2 and verses number 3.
In my Father's house
are many mansions. All right.
If it were not so,
all right.
I told you,
I
go to prepare a place for you.
All right.
And if I go to prepare a place for you,
all right.
I will come again and receive you unto myself.
All right.
That where I am,
there you may be also. Amen. And so it says, in my Father's house, or just one, it's just one mansion. How many mansions? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then what does it say? I go to prepare a place for you, right? Does it say it somewhere there in there? I go to prepare a place. So God, do you understand that when God not only is calling after our hearts, but he's got something good prepared for you already? He's done all the work. The way God is he's done all the work. And so it's up to us to accept that call by the help of the Lord. His intention is for us to be saved. His intention is for us to make heaven our home. His intention is for us that while we are on earth to have a better experience. It's better with God than without God. All right. And so that's what God's intent is. And he shows his intent by already preparing a place for us to go when we leave. Do you know that the Bible says that if our name is in the book of life, one of the places it says, I will not blot out thy name. So the name, his intent, the name is already in there. It's up to us to keep it in there. And we do that by answering the call when God calls for us. May God help us this morning. Romans 6 and 23. This is what we referred to earlier. What does it say in Romans 6 and 23?
For the wages of sin is death.
All right.
But the gift of God is eternal life.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Enemy wants to steal from us. In John 10 and 10, it says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and to destroy. I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so the enemy knows, listen, God, you need to think about this when you're thinking about heaven and hell and when you're thinking about your life. Hell was made for who? The devil and his angels. And what did we just read about? What God did for us. What did he prepare for us? Many mansions. They say, so you're not even, so if you go to hell, you're not supposed to be there. You got a mansion that he made for you. You understand? And so God is trying to get us to understand something. He's already got a place for us. He's standing at the door and he's knocking. He's calling us. But are we going to choose him is the question. May God help us. I don't have to get to heaven and make a mansion. It's already there. The song said, we sung a song today. It says, I'm only an earthen vessel. The graces within are not mine. The love, the power, the glory belong to who? The Savior divine. So I ain't even got to have all that. He'll put that in me. What else you want the Lord to do? Answer the call. Answer the call. May God help us this morning. May he be with us and be with us in a special way. The Bible says, I know the thoughts that I think of you. This is in Jeremiah 29:11, if you don't know it. Know the thoughts that I think of you, thoughts of good and not evil, to bring you to an expected end. That's what God's intent is for us. But we can allow the enemy to steal that. We can allow him to destroy us. We can allow him to take advantage of us by not answering the call. All right, go with me to Matthew 22. I'm almost finished here, but it's going to take a little while to get through a few of these scriptures. We're going back to Matthew 22. Like I said before, we'll start at verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 14. There may be a couple other scriptures that we throw in there, but be praying for us because we want to get this burden off of us, and we want the Lord to bless and to help. It says here, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable. What's a parable? What's a parable? It's a story. What kind of story? True to life. It teaches a moral, and it teaches a spiritual concept. So it says here a parable. It teaches a spiritual lesson, and it's a short story that teaches a moral or spiritual lesson. All right, and so he's given a parable. And it says here, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. All right?
Yes.
The kingdom of heaven is likened to a wedding.
Yes.
So the king, he had a wedding for his son. And he said, listen, you come to this wedding. I've prepared all of these things for you, all of these blessings. I want to tell you this morning that life with God is better. There's blessings instead of cursings. Do you know if you read your Bible and you read it correctly, you'll see that it says this consequences in this area, you do these types of things, you will be cursed. You do these types of things, you'll be in damnation. Those are the words that it uses towards those that are in sin and die in their sins. But then when it talks about the people of God, those that have given their heart to the Lord, those that have answered the call, it talks about blessings. It talks about the goodness of the Lord. It talks about all of those things. And so we need to be thinking in those terms when we're making our choice in and concerning the matter of our soul. All right, and so he said he made this marriage feast. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king. The king would be God. The son would be who? Jesus, right? And then who would be the bride? The church would be the bride. That would be us. All right, and so he's made the call. He's made the call. He said, I've prepared this wonderful wedding feast, and he sends out his servants to call them, and they would not come. May God help us this morning. What more do we want him to do? He's already done all the work. What more do we want him to do? God did all of the prep work, and he's got blessings upon blessings for you and for me. Do you want them? Or do you want to live for that old wicked one, that one that does you wrong and causes you to do wrong and then blames it on you and then says you deserve it and then tries to get you to a place where you accept it and you believe it and you're in this abusive relationship that has no end when God has freedom for you this morning? May God help us this morning. God can free you from those things. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to live like that. Remember the father with the prodigal son. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to live like no beggar. You don't have to live like no person. He's got a marriage feast waiting on you right now. May God help us this morning. And so it says here, send forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Listen, the only thing he's not going to do is make us. He's going to prepare the feast. He's going to call us. He's going to choose us. He's going to make it easy for us to see that the wages of sin is death. And then he's going to leave it up to us. He will not. I wish he would. I wish he would. I wish he'd make us, but he doesn't do that. Sometimes you make your kids do stuff. Why? Because it's good for them.
Right.
You're going to eat these vegetables. I don't care if you like them or not. They're good for you.
Amen.
Ain't that what your mama said?
Yes.
And it was good for her. And it's and that's why. But God won't do us like that. One thing that can stop the will of God is your choice, your will. He will not override our will. May God help us this morning. So it says here, it says in verse number 4, again, he sent forth other servants. So he done sent some servants already, and you says you ain't coming. And then he sends some more servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But what they do? Read it.
They made light of it.
And went their way.
One to the farm.
One to the farm. One another to his merchandise. Hold it. We got to get a hold of this here. So not only, do you know that God calls us and he'll call us again and he'll call us again and he'll let us do what we think we want to do and bump our heads and then he'll call us again. How many times do we want him to call us? May God help us this morning. So he's done all this calling. All right, he's done all this calling, and they doubled down on it, didn't he? He said, behold, I prepare my dinner, my fatlings are killed, and things are ready. Come, for all things are now ready. And they made light of it. They said, you know, that we can, in our hearts and minds, we can say, you know what, it is important to be saved, and I don't want to go to hell, but I'm going to get to it when I get to it. We sing a song that says, the day of his grace is past. Right? There's a day of God's grace. There's a day of salvation. There's a time and space that God gives to every soul to answer the call. I'm going to prove it to you. We're going to read some more. And I'm going to prove it to you. These are the facts. Okay? And so we have to answer the call when God is calling us. We have to answer that call. Because he's not going to always call for us, especially if we tell him we don't want him. May God help us this morning. So it says here, they made light of it. They didn't think it was very important. And they went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. What's the Bible said about affection? Set your affections on things above and not what? On things on the earth. And so what happens here is the writer is telling us that when Christ was giving this parable, he was saying that what people are doing, they are saying, yes, it's important, but it's not that important. I'm going to handle this thing. I'm going to get this thing in order. I'm going to worry about my money. I'm going to worry about my assets. I'm going to worry about getting this house, this car, this, you know, whatever it is that I'm getting in the here and now. And let me tell you, you can do that. You can do that. I see that happening. People do that. And God in his mercy, sometimes he'll allow things to happen that things won't be going the right way. But sometimes it seems like we start trying to do those things even more. Even more. I've got my farm. I got, well, maybe nobody has a farm here, but we all have something that we're concerned about in and concerning this life. This life is only, listen to me this morning, this life is only important in terms of getting us ready for the next one. Okay? Your 20, 30, 50, 100, I don't care if you live to be 1,000. It doesn't matter if you don't leave here with Christ in your heart. So get that right first. Get that right. Bible says, seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when God calls you, your job is to respond by seeking him. And then all of these things, the farm, the merchandise, and everything else, they're going to be added unto you. And they'll be in a place where they're not too important, where they hinder us from answering the call like God wants us to do. May God help us this morning and be with us. They made light of it, went their ways, one to his farm. This is verse number 5 in chapter 22 of Matthew. And one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Do y'all know what that means? They killed them. Sometimes we kill the messenger, huh? Mama, I don't want to hear that right now. I don't want to hear that. Person of God, I ain't trying to hear what you're talking about. I'm doing what I'm doing. Matter of fact, I don't like how you do this. See what I'm saying? We might not kill them physically, but we'll kill them in other ways. Supposed to be saved and got an attitude with me. But did they go back to the Lord and ask God to forgive them? Did they come and humble themselves and ask you to forgive them when the Lord touched their hearts and dealt with them? Did you see that part too? Let's look at the whole picture, right? See? So what we can do is God can give us the call, and many times how he gives us that call is through his people. He's going to send you somebody, and they may not say a word ever. They just live it right before you. And that's the call. Don't kill the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. Don't mistreat the messenger. Let them do their job that God has given them to do. How would you know if you don't have the messenger? You see? May God help us this morning. Don't treat them spitefully. Don't kill them. But when the king heard thereof, so there's consequences. This is why I'm telling, it's a bad idea in the first place to kill the messenger. It's a bad idea in the first place to mistreat the messenger. Do not talk about the people of God. Don't do that. Amen. That's bad for you. And do you know that there's consequences when you do that? There really is. People don't know that because a lot of times the consequences that you receive, they don't look like something that you can relate to what you have done. You forgot that you did wrong by the people of God. You forgot that you talked bad about the people of God. You forgot that you mistreated the people of God. And later on down the line, something that seems unrelated is coming into your life, and you don't understand that's the consequence right here and right now for what you did in the past. We'll read, and let's see if I just made that up or if it's in here. It says in verse number 8, the king, number 7, king heard thereof, he was wroth. Wroth is beyond angry. And we don't want to make God angry. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. I'm not even going to put nothing on that. You should be able to figure out how that worked out. All right? And so verse number 8, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Do you want to be in a place? Do you know that you and I can resist the Lord so much that we get to a place where he says, they are not worthy of my call? Matter of fact, I rescind my invitation. Go get my invitation back from them, and I'm not giving them an invitation anymore. I heard of people of God that finally were able to get saved after that happened to them. The Lord had called after their hearts. He had dealt with them. He had worked with them over and over and time again. And they had resisted the Lord. And so he took his Holy Spirit away from them. And he would not convict them. He would not work with them. And so they had to try to get back to God. They had to beg and plead the Lord and do everything that they could do. And finally, in his mercy and his grace and his love, he extended that call again. But sometimes he does not. Sometimes he says they're not worthy. I don't want to be in that place. You want to be in that place? I do not want to be in that place where he's saying, I'm not even worthy of an invitation anymore. It says here, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready. They which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore. So this is what he does. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants, so he'll move on. You understand? He's going to find, somebody's going to make it in. He's going to find some folks that see the value in the call and is answering the call. He's going to do that. So it's a seriousness attached to when God has a call on our lives and we resist that, there's a very serious thing that we're doing. Be aware that he could move on and he's looking for others now. He's passed on from you. May God help us, from me. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, be it to the marys. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. I said both bad and good. I said both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Listen, if you don't want to come, that's all right. He's going to find some folks that need the Lord. Both bad and good. The good thing about being in a bad condition is finally you can come to a place where you hit rock bottom and you say, I don't like this. The key is, do you have enough of God's grace and mercy being extended towards you that you can do something about it? The Bible says the thief cometh not but to steal, but to kill and to destroy. And some people are already destroyed even though they're still walking around amongst us. There's nothing to work with anymore. You see? And so unless God have mercy upon them, they cannot be helped. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. We harden our hearts by resisting him, by denying him, by saying, Lord, I'm going to do it later. Don't do that. You can make a conscious decision today, whether or not you come to the altar. You can make a conscious decision today, Lord, I'm going to answer your call. I'm not going to be lost. I'm going to live right. I'm going to do right. But Lord, maybe I'm afraid or whatever it is. Something's hindering me from coming to the altar today. I encourage you to come to the altar if God is dealing with you. But if you can't come for whatever reason, tell the Lord today, Lord, I don't want to be lost. I'm asking you to have mercy upon me. I'm asking you to help me because, Lord, before I leave here, I'm going to get this thing right. I'm telling you it works because that's what happened with me. That's what happened with me, literally. I had to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, I know I'm wrong. I'm asking you, Lord, help me. I'm not ready to go yet, but Lord, I'm gonna get better. I'm gonna do right, Lord. And I know I can't do it without you, Lord. So I'm asking you, soften my heart. Work with my mind, because my mind ain't even right. I'm trying to do right. I can't do right. If I want to, I can't do it. I'm telling you. And so he began to work with me and deal with me and soften my heart. There was a time in my life when I couldn't even cry, and that's the truth. The Bible says a broken spirit and a contrite heart. How are you going to get to the Lord if you can't even meet the condition? He said he'll give us a new mind. How are you going to get to the Lord if your mind is so messed up that you don't even hear the call anymore? Your conscience is seared now. You resisted the Lord so much that God can't even get through to you. The good news is you must not be there yet because you're still hearing the call this morning. God don't send a message like this without no reason. All right? And it ain't about me, it's about the Lord. Forget me. Matter of fact, I wish I could just put it on tape and just play it. Forget me, don't look at me. It's about getting to the Lord. For matter of fact, don't even worry about the people of God right now. It's about you and the Lord. Get to the Lord. Don't worry about all that stuff that you think is wrong with the people of God. Don't worry about that. You make sure you got a relationship with God. You make sure you answer the call. Because it's not going to matter what the saints did or didn't do in the end. It don't matter. Right. What's going to matter is, did you answer the call? Yes. May God help us this morning. Amen. Be merciful to us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help us out. Stand by us and be with us. Save and deliver is our prayer this morning. Those servants went out into the highways, gathered together all as many as they found, both good, bad and good. Yes. And the wedding was furnished with the guests. Now pay special attention here. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? and he was speechless. This is our place. I have other scriptures that go with it. If you want them after the message, I'll give them to you. But I don't have time to give them to you now. What you need to know is that earth is our preparation room. Not only do we get saved, but it doesn't stop there. That's not the end all be all. Once you get saved, then you move forward and you become more and more like Christ. You prepare yourself for heaven. So what happened here is the guest, he came in, snuck in there, tried to sneak. You can't sneak in. You can't sneak in. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What else does it say? No, I need to hear it. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What if somebody tried to come another way? What does it say? Same as a thief and a robber. So what happened was this person tried to sneak in and get in on the sneak. Ain't none of that. Ain't going to be none of that. We can't sneak in to God's heaven. We can't sneak in to the kingdom of God. We have to make a conscious choice that this is what I want to do with my life. And Lord, I'm going to ask you to help me to do it. And then I'm going to do it by the grace and help of God. This is how we make it in. All right. And it says here, then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot. This is the one that tried to sneak in. Wasn't prepared. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not even going. You should know what that means. Anytime the Bible say weeping and gnashing of teeth, you should know what that means. Okay? Oh, yes. May God help us. It says many are called, but few are chosen. All right? And so what I want us to know this morning, if you didn't get anything out of what we said, is that God is calling for you and he's calling for me. Yes. He's got a call on your life. He's standing at the door and he's knocking and he's hoping that we will allow him entrance into our souls, but he's not going to make us do it. Yes. He's also not going to stand at the door and knock forever. That doesn't make sense, right? No. And so he's not going to do that. We will have to answer that call one way or another. The last verse said, many are called, but few are chosen. The choice that I make is going to decide whether or not I am called and chosen or just called. May God help us this morning. You pray for me. My goal and aim is to make heaven my home. Yeah. I am sometimes painfully aware that I'm not in heaven yet.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I still got to answer the call. I still got to get closer and yet closer and still closer to him. And so I'm endeavoring by the grace of God to do that. I want to answer that call. And I'm encouraging you this morning to answer the call that God has upon your life. You pray for me. I will be praying for you. I want to go to heaven. And when I get there, one of these days, I want to see you there. So may God help us. Pray for me.